Because this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life. You know, in the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically.
That's right,
or
yeah.
Would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, just check out our website, and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit citr.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Jazz musicians, listen up. Dig Your Roots is looking for independent, creative jazz artists from around the country. You could be featured on the Dig Your Roots website. You might even be chosen to appear on a national CD compilation and perform to live radio audiences coast to coast to coast. Deadline for submissions is October 31st, 2006. Dig Your Roots is a Canadian local talent development initiative of the National Campus and Community Radio Association. For more information and to find out how to submit, visit www.digyourroots.ca. Dig Your Roots. Discover your culture. Grow a consciousness.
Everybody, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Alex Koichi Ushijima, and thank you for listening for the next 1.5 hours, actually an hour and 25 minutes. I started a little late because I was trying to work up on the podcasting. That's right, folks. CITR is going to start some podcasting, and you'll be able to listen to your favorite shows, including this one, as well as many others. And you could log on to it and find out by going to our website at www.citr.ca. If you just tuned in, this is Katasu, and I'm going to be playing a lot of Japanese music. First, I hope you guys enjoyed the DJ Crush that came on last Wednesday. As for Asobi Seksu, I tried to get some tickets, but it turned out to be canceled. There's a tear going down on the side of my face. But, you know, bands, they cancel, they come and go. And I'm pretty sure that Asobi Seksu will be coming around sometime in the next year or so. I'm just crossing my fingers right now. Please come, because I really was looking forward to see that band, but unfortunately I couldn't. I got a couple of things that I would like to share with you guys. I'm going to be talking about some Japanese October events, including some national sports days, and as well as a couple of traditional festivals, including the Nagasaki Kunchi and the Jidai Matsuri. I'll give you more information about that, and I'll be playing a lot of rock indie tunes straight from the land of the rising sun of Japan. So first off, I'm going to keep that punk rock intensity going. I'm going to be starting it off with some Guitar Wolf. This is from the album Rock and Roll Etiquette, and the song is called Sky Star Jet. By the way, if you have any questions, give me a call at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Enough of my chit-chat. Here's some Guitar Wolf on CITR. Love that Guitar Wolf music. That song is called Sky Star Jet, and again, that album is called Rock and Roll Etiquette. The next band I would like to introduce to you is, I found it on a website called www.kkaku.net, an excellent English website that talks about Japanese indie bands. So if you're looking for a lot more indie music from Japan, go to that website. But anyways, the artist that I'm going to be playing next is called Maximum the Hormone. A pretty humorous name. It sounds quite testosterone driven, so therefore most people might think that the music style will probably be, you know, like heavy hardcore rock, which I would not disagree. Actually, it is some quite hard rocking headbanging tunes, and I'm gonna be playing that next. This band, first off, wanted to play just for fun, and they were actually at a yakiniku yasan. Yakiniku means sort of like those Japanese barbecues where, you know, they have like this really big metal table, and it's sort of like similar to like a Korean restaurant barbecue where they bring plates and plates of raw meat, and you just fry it on top of this metal plate, and you just enjoy the flavors of beef, pork, and chicken. There's one type of meat, I guess it's called hormone, and basically that's a part of the, I guess it's a testicles of the bull, I'm not quite too sure, but they love eating that very much, and they decided to call their band first Hormones, but that wasn't too catchy, right? So they added the, so they became the Hormones. But again, you know, the Hormones, nah, it's kind of an awkward name, isn't it? So that's why they added one more word to their bad names, and that's how they became Maximum the Hormone. And I listened to a couple of their tunes. I really like it very much, and I wanted to find out more information about this band. So I went to their website and went to their FAQ, and there was this one question from a fan talking about, oh, could you tell me more about the lyrics? I just went to a CD shop and rented it and, you know, got it back. And I was wondering where I could find more of the lyrics, the words itself that you guys are saying. And the response from one of the bandmates was basically some criticism towards a fan saying that you do not fully appreciate our music. We worked very hard on our lyrics day by day, night by night, and we really take our time choosing the right words in order to express what we want to say from the bottom of our hearts. True story, he actually said wrote that up on a website, and in other words, that they, in his words, that the person is a rock impotence. Rock impotence, that's right. He thinks that he should not appreciate rock because it's not just it's cool, but did he really wanted to fully express what's coming from their minds and from their hearts, and it's through the music they want to send a message across to the fans. So in other words, they want their rock spirits fully acknowledged and understood. Okay, and they made one song based on this fan or many other fans that are so-called, according to them, so-called appreciating music because they think they're kind of cute or slash neat. But no, he really wanted to say, hey, you guys are rock impotence. And this is a theme on their latest album, which is basically the title Rock Impotence. And I'm going to be playing the song of the same title. And I hope you guys will enjoy it. And I hope you guys aren't impotent on rock. Okay. This is Maximum the Hormone with Lokinpo Goroshi.
Get on me, 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 get
Hope you guys enjoyed that. That was Maximum the Hormone, and the song is called Lokinpo Goroshi. And again, Lokinpo is the abbreviation for Rock Impotence, a song based on a fan who didn't appreciate their band's music. If you just tuned in, this is Karasu 101.9 FM CITR. My name is Alex. Hope you guys are enjoying it so far. I'll be playing a lot more J-Rock, J-Pop. Pop, perhaps. I might have some popping in the lineup, depending on my mood. But I'll also be playing some great independent music from people all over Japan. I just went to the Vancouver International Film Festival last Sunday, and I really watched this series of short animation called Alternative Anime. Please let me know if you guys have been there, because when I watched several of those cartoons, I really had no idea what the hell was going on, especially this one where this woman had like two or three faces. It's like computer graphics, and the voices were completely made digitally from a computer, like as if it's from a very old cube computer back in the 80s, like that kind of sound. And it just dragged. I didn't like it. But, of course, those are going to be fantastic films from all over the world. And I just did a little research, and maybe there's a few movies that maybe you guys may be interested that are from Japan. And let me just give you that list, okay? First of all, there's a movie called Big Bang Love Juvenile A. If you guys love the director Miike Takashi, the director who made Dead or Alive, as well as Ichi the Killer, who really raises the bar of the level of grotesqueness and bloody violence, he makes a next extraordinary move by making this prison movie with a homoerotic fantasy of masculinity that is wild, sexy, and a little bit of avant-garde, according to the website. And it's actually an adaptation of a homoerotic manga, Elegy for Boy A. So I guess that would be a yaoi comic. So I guess it would be a Japanese version of Oz, but with a little romance touched with it. And if you guys are interested in watching that movie, it's going to be on Thursday, October 5th and Saturday, October 7th, both at the Empire Granville 7. Furthermore, I think this is one movie that I would like to see. It's called Hana, which I believe means flower in Japanese. And it's a movie about a samurai who's trying to avenge his father's death, but he has several obstacles that he has to go over in order to accomplish that goal. First of all, he falls in love with a widow next door. And then he becomes a surrogate father to her son and becomes a local swordsman teacher. However, one problem is that he's having trouble finding the time to look for that killer. And on top of that, the worst part of all, he is the Japan's worst swordsman. So balance between this bad drama and comedy, this accounts for a very fascinating movie about moral and emotional frailties that you could be seen in this film. This film will be on Tuesday, October 3rd and Wednesday, October 4th, also at the Empire Granville 7. And one more movie, I would like to see this one as well, Tachigui, The Amazing Lives of Fast Food Grifters. And Tachigui means stand up and eating. So this movie is actually going to be talking about the fast food business that is booming in Japan ever since they had like that economic boom. It is a movie by Oshii Mamoru, who is involved in making the Ghost in the Shell movie. He shows an alternative history of post-war Japan that has seen through the rise of fast food chains. And the animation, I just saw one of the one of the photos for that movie if you just go to the website. It's quite amazing. The animation is photo-based, and it actually looks quite realistic, I have to say. Even for CG, Japan is quite advanced. They're pretty ahead of their game, I would say. Maybe, I don't know what would be comparable to it, but it is almost like too real. I don't know if that makes sense. But it picks critically on the hollowness on Japan's economic miracle as well in this movie. So maybe you guys might be interested in that as well. That's also going to be on Tuesday, October 3rd at the Empire Granville 7. Of course, you can find more information on the films from Japan as well as all other countries by going to the Vancouver International Film Festival website. That is www.viff.org. I'm going to be playing a tune by, let me just try and read this if I could, Chiri Nuru wo Waka. And the album's called Iroha, and the song is called Hanamuke. Hope you guys enjoy it. This is 101.9. Hope you guys enjoyed the groove of that one. That was Chi Li Nuru Wo Waka, and the song is called Hanamuke. If you love that tune, pick up their album. The song, the album title is called Iroha. In October, in Japan, they have the National Sports Day. In Japanese, it's called Tai Iku no Hi. And I did talk a little bit about this last week, but maybe I'll give you a little more detail on it. It's actually on the second Monday of October, which would be next week. I guess that'll be October 9th. Yes. And it's a national holiday, of course, to promote healthy body and mind. But why is it in October? Well, it actually commemorates the 1964 Olympic Games in Tokyo, which was actually held from October 10th to the 24th. But people now probably in the car or at home are wondering, hey, how come, you know, it's Summer Olympics and why did it have it in autumn? Okay, well, first of all, it was about the weather. If you've ever been to Japan, you would fully understand how hot and humid it could be. As a matter of fact, it could go at the high of 40 degrees Celsius, and it feels like you're in a sauna because, like I said, once you go outside, it's humid, your skin gets very sticky. It just feels disgusting. Okay, and considering that it is an international sports event, people from different countries, whether it's from a, say, hot country or a cold country, it must be a very difficult adjustment to the climate. So they needed the right weather to, I guess, accommodate the athletes all over the world. And in fact, Tokyo is also very rainy in the summer months. It's called Tsuyu. It does get rainy in August. So just imagine getting me all sticky and it gets rainy. And it's very unstable. The weather is quite unpredictable during the summer season. And if it was in September, it's actually the height of the typhoon season as well. So you don't want any like javelins or some shot puts, you know, kind of like curving to the right and going into the crowd. Okay. So the organizers of the Tokyo Games actually asked meteorologists, when is the best time to hold an outdoor sports event? And the answer was mid-October. So And people were kind of skeptical about it. They're like, oh, you know, what if the weather is terrible on the opening ceremony? What are you going to expect? It's going to be in October. But they actually had a sunny, clear blue sky day and night during the opening ceremony. And they thought that was just a bliss. Ever since 2 years after the Olympic Games, that's when they decided to set the second Monday of October as the National Sports Day. Okay. And even in Tokyo's Bunkyo Ward, which is Kyoiku no Mori Park, they even have numerous athletic events for all ages, and it's occurring annually. And they also have a computer-aided check of physical strength health tips from professionals as well. And it's a great way to stay healthy. You know, it's good to check once in a while after eating all those sushi rolls and futomakis and tempuras. You don't know how your arteries are getting along, I guess. But that's all I want to talk about for the sports day that is always in October. I'm going to be playing the next song. Is going to be by Yura Yura Teikoku. The song is called Taiyo no Usotsuki, which means, hey, sun, you're such a liar. And the album is called Mi no Car, if you love it. Again, this is Yura Yura Teikoku on 101.9 FM.
Keep 夕の嘘つき、青空の嘘つき。青空の嘘つき、太陽の太陽の太陽の嘘つき。
Yes, the sun can be a liar. The song is called Taiyo no Usotsuki. That basically means the sun is a liar. Just, I guess I'm just repeating myself right there. The artist is called Yura Yura Teikoku. The album is called Me No Car. Well, at least the sun is staying true with us. It's not that bad, you know, for October. I really like the fair weather that we're getting so far. I'm just going to knock on wood just in case so we don't get any rainy season for the next couple of months or years, so to say. It'll be 8 degrees Celsius overnight with a little bit of clouds. Tomorrow, it'll be 16 degrees Celsius tomorrow with a sunny / cloudy mix. So I hope you guys will enjoy the weather while I have to work indoors, putting some books in an undisclosed bookstore. But I'll just let you know about this. It'll be in Richmond. Okay. So it's 8:05-ish. You're listening to Karasu, which is at the University of British Columbia, CITR 101.9 FM. Let me just do a couple of PSAs or public service announcements. First off, the Mokuyokai Matcha Green Tea Party, which will be on Saturday, October 14th from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the UBC Nitobe Memorial Garden and Asian Center. Experience a tea ceremony with some Japanese wagashi, which is basically candy, sweets, at the Nitobe Gardens Tea House or at the Tea Gallery at the Asian Center. And there's going to be many things such as tea-related events, information and products on the green tea, and even traditional Japanese musical performances with akoto and shakuhachi, which are just fantastic traditional Japanese instruments. Akoto is a Japanese harp, I guess that would be the easiest way to say it. And the shakuhachi is sort of like a flute, okay? And you can enjoy a cup of matcha latte, matcha chocolate, or you can even pre-order a Japanese bento box as well. However, the space is limited for reservations, so if you'd like to make a reservation for this fantastic event, please contact Sachiko Hill at rsvp@mokuyokai.bc.ca. You can also find more information by going to the website at www.mokuyokai.bc.ca as well. Furthermore, there's also some art gallery by Ed Pien, which is a Toronto-based artist, and I think he has a Taiwanese background, forgive me if I am wrong, and a art gallery show is called Elemental Forces, and it's going to be going on until October 21st at the Center A exhibition. His exhibition combines some multimedia works which blends in Asian mythology as well as Western history in his multimedia works of drawing, video, and sound, which in the end creates an eerie and illusory world which can be compared to the works such as Francisco Goya and Hieronymus Bosch. If you want to find more information on Ed Pien and his exhibition Elemental Forces, please go to the website at www.centera.org. Okay, so those are the couple of PSAs. I like to say PSAs. Basically, it's public service announcements. And don't forget the film festival. Lots of Japanese films. You got to enjoy it, okay? I'm going to be playing some Supercar, and the album is called Futurama. And maybe I'm going to be, I will talk about a story about a local politician who did the Zidane at a police officer. More about that after I play a little commercial right now.
CITR podcast update number 2.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. How much construction has been done?
We haven't had to do any construction, actually. Mostly it was just getting servers to host all of these audio files and then software to be able to deliver the podcast to the listening public.
And where does a satellite fit in then?
There's no plan to use satellites at the moment.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Just love Supercar. Too bad they broke up back in, I believe, 2001. That was Supercar, and the song is called AOSA from the album Futurama. You're listening to Kalusu. My name is Alex. If you have any questions about what I am playing so far, if you want to get some playlist or maybe make some requests, as long as they're Japanese artists, I will play them. Please give me a call, 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Let me just talk a little bit about this latest news that I just found out. There's a local Japanese politician who had to resign after headbutting the police officer while he was drunk. This actually happened in the Saitama Prefecture in the city of Ogawa. The vice speaker of the municipal assembly had to resign earlier this month after being arrested for headbutting the police officer while he was drunk at Omikoshi party. Omikoshi is a portable shrine that is carried throughout the city. It's carried by many, many people. And in this case, it happened during the Ikaho Festival held in Shibukaya, which is in the Gunma Prefecture. On September 20th, Onda was arrested when he headbutted a police officer who tried to stop the politician from approaching a group of high school girls that were carrying the portable shrine. And when they got into a conflict, he did the Zidane. That's right, folks. He headbutted him right in the chest, maybe a little bit in the face. In the incident, fortunately, the officer only suffered a slight wound, and of course, the politician had to be drunk at that time. The court fined Onda, who is the politician, 500,000 yen, that'll be around $5,000 in Canadian bucks, for obstructing the police officer from performing his official duties. And being all embarrassed and having all the mass media covering this story, he decided to resign as an assembly member to the speaker, Osamu Sekiguchi. Sad, tragic story, but that's what you get when you're drunk and trying to approach some high school gakuseis at a festival. And, you know, what goes around comes around, right, folks? You got to be careful, guys. So what is the solution in this case? Well, probably not. I think it's all resolved right now. I'm actually just talking about the song that I'm going to be playing next. It's called What's the Solution? And it's by the artist who came last Wednesday. That's right. It's DJ Crush on CITR. DJ Crush from the album Jaku. Jaku actually means peace and calm of mind. And that actually featured an artist, Tetsuro Naito. And you probably heard some drumming in the background. Yes, that is the artist. And the song is called What's the Solution? You're listening to Karasu. I'm going to be talking about one of the largest Japanese festivals that is going to be happening in October. It's a three-day fest, and it's called Nagasaki Kunchi. It's going to be happening from October 7th to the 9th at the Suwa Shrine in Nagasaki City, which is, well, in Nagasaki Prefecture. This event actually started 360 years ago, and as I mentioned before, it's one of the three largest national festivals in Japan, and quoted by the Japanese government, it is an important intangible folk asset. Okay, but this there is a little bit of a dark background to this festival at first. Back in the late 16th and early 17th century in Japan, that's when Christianity was introduced, but the Bakufu government and Buddhists felt a little threatened by this new religion coming into their homeland, and they thought that it was going to completely transform their country forever. So this festival actually started as a way to promote Buddhism with anti-Christian beliefs during that time. And this is when the Bakufu government, Shintoism, Buddhism, and brothel wards, they worked together to make some alternative to Easter processions. Now it's becoming more of an event where neighborhoods with dance teams compete with one another to have a fun-filled, entertaining performance. At first, it had some no-drama highlighting event, but there was a massive fire back in 1857 and became the new festival from what it is today with lots of dancing, with as much as 77 dance communities, which were actually first established in 1672. Right now, 11 neighborhoods in Nagasaki organizing the festival are now divided into 7 groups, and each groups are taking turns to organize the festival. So, in other words, there are up to 7 different kinds of this Nagasaki Kunchi Festival. So you have to spend 7 years if you want to see all of it. Okay, so this you could just see the grand scale of this event. The average attendance for this festival is 350,000 people, and many people decide to buy tickets to get to central stage to get basically the best view in the house. But there's actually a hill with 73 stones that lead to the Suwa Shrine, and spectators can basically stand or sit by those stairs and watch it for free. Of course, because not everything comes for free without a price. Some people actually camp there for 2 nights to get the best places on those stone steps. In the festival, there's many colorful floats and dancing by dance communities, but some people may kind of compare one of the highlights of this event with maybe perhaps some Chinese tradition. There's actually a dance of a dragon chasing a golden ball performed with some music performance with Chinese instruments as well. So it may remind some people in some parts of the event as Chinese New Year. Why is this? Because, well, Nagasaki is actually was a city where they imported a lot of Asian artifacts, especially from China, during the Japan's economic boom back in the 16th, 17th century. And it was actually the only port of foreign trade during the Edo period, which is between 17th to the 19th century in Japan. So you could see different elements in this festival that may be considered quite international, even though that it is actually a national event. So if you want to find that out, Google it up. Again, it's Nagasaki Kunchi Festival. And if you are in Japan listening to this, or if you're on a going to listen to it on a podcast, then maybe you should check it out. October 7th to the 9th in Nagasaki. Yes, I did say the word podcast. CITR has started a podcast program. You could just check out our website, www.citr.ca. We just started it. There may be some difficulties at the times, especially with the large files that may be for each and every program that will be recording it for your iPoddy. But nonetheless, we have it, and you can listen to all of the favorite shows from 101.9 FM. And I hope you guys keep track, keep what's up. Anyways, check out that website, www.citr.ca. My next song I'm going to be playing next is, let's keep it a little continuous of some hip-hop. I feel like in this groovy hip-hop move right now. But it's going to be a little bit blend of rock in here as well. But it's one of my favorite duos, Cibomato. The album Stereotype A. I'm going to be playing a song called Sunday Part 1. Listen to 101.9.
Tells us the human brain loses more than 10,000 brain cells a day. Imagine, one day you're doing calculus just to look cool, and the next you can't finish a sentence in the good way. So if you'd like to be not smart, come to that place. Science place. Nice place. I like hats. Science World. They can explain.
We'll be right back.
That was some wild tunes. I hope you guys enjoy that pretty twisted sound effects. But I really love that retro pogo punk. Yes, folks, that was Polyzix. Song's called Wild One from the album Now's the Time. Before that, I played Cibo Matto album's called Stereotype A. And Cibo Matto, I think that was supposed to be, rumors has it that Cibo Matto actually is like this reference to some porn title. I'm not quite too sure. I should do a little bit more my research on that name. But Cibo Matto, they're just quite fascinating. You could actually go to like Videomatica, and I forgot the name of the director, but you could actually see their music video, which is quite artistic and really twisted, I would say. Trying to look for it, if you know what I'm talking about. I have 25 minutes left into the program. It is 8:35, and this is Karasu. Lots of Japanese music are going to be playing up next. My name is Alex Ushijima. You can also call me Koichi. That is my Japanese name. And if you are looking for a job, yes, I know, job. That's the J word, especially when you're near graduation. Plus, if you know how to speak Japanese and English, then maybe there is a website that you would like to check out. I'm talking about the Boston Career Forum. If you go to www.careerforum.net, the website will be in Japanese, but you can actually click on a link that will make it into English. It'll feature a whole list of companies and corporations that are looking for people, bilingual Japanese English speakers that can work in their industry. And this will be a great time to look for right now, especially when you're going to be graduating in next April, because most Japanese companies, they look for people that are just before graduating. So Boston Career Forum will be at November 17th to the 19th. Over 120 companies will be looking for someone that can speak quite fluently in Nihongo and Eigo. Yes, I'm talking about you if you're listening to it right now. Just look it up. It'll be at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. It's not too late to sign up right now. Again, www.careerforum.net. And for those that have no clue what they would like to do after graduation, how about teaching some English? Yes, it does make some big bucks, but one program that I will highly recommend is the Japanese Exchange Teaching Program, that also known as the JET program. Go to the website. I do not have it right now, but you could go to the Consulate of Japan, and it'll probably give you an idea of how the Japanese government can support you in teaching and sharing cultural experiences overseas in the land of the rising sun. Again, this program is called the JET program. I'm pretty sure at university campuses, there's a lot of discussions and talks, a lot of seminars as well on the program, but maybe you should do some research by yourself at first by going to the Consulate of Japan website. Again, that's the JET program. I really recommend that. Many of my friends have tried it, and they said it's an unforgettable experience. Just to let you know, at 9 o'clock, there will be the Jazz Show, hosted by the very cool Gavin Walker. The program will be from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, and in those 2 hours, he'll be playing some great jazz tunes that will make you tuck yourself into bed and fall fast asleep, because, you know, jazz, everyone just has to love it, okay? Again, that's the Jazz Show, hosted by Gavin Walker, at 9 o'clock. Let's see, what should I play next? Play some few Polyzix. I was going to play Puffy, but I think I'm going to save that for next time because I feel like hip-hop and rock. How about I'll put some rock again from the ever-favorite Number Girl. This is a live recording. The song is called Destruction Baby. And after this song, let me just talk a little bit about how Japanese men relieve stress by doing some hula dancing. Oh, one more thing. You can also give me a call. 604-UBC-CITR, that's 604-822-2487, if you want to make some requests for the next show or even right now. And maybe you could give me some of your 2 cents or 2 yens, so to say, on how I am doing so far. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this show and about the new podcasting. Let me know how that's working out for you guys as well. Anyways, here's Number Girl, a live recording on 101.9 FM. We'll be right back. That was Number Girl. It's a live recording at Club Quattro, which is in Tokyo. The song is called Destruction Baby. As I mentioned earlier, how is hula dancing relieving the stress of Japanese businessmen? There is actually a hula dancing boom that is sweeping across Japan with these middle-aged folks. As a matter of fact, 180,000 people are participating in the Hawaiian hula. Perhaps the movie called Hula Girl, which is in Japanese theaters right now, about a group of young women from a coal mining town starting a Hawaiian dance team in order to survive, is making this trend throughout the nation. Hula is actually perceived to be like this feminine dance with glass skirts and coconut bras, but nope. According to the director and one of the lead dancers for the hula dancing workshops, he is saying that it's actually for men to express their powers. In ancient Hawaii, only men were allowed to dance the hula, according to a teacher in Tokyo. And there's actually a dance group called the Nagisa Boys. The average age ranges around 40, young as 38, old as 53. And these group of hula men actually go on a two-hour dance session and even perform at events like book signings. Why do they do it? Well, it is a way to, I guess, get some exercise, learn how to get some rhythm, but furthermore, it is to flow the stress away from their chest out to the flowing fingertips with some ukulele soothing sounds. And you could just see many of the businessmen wearing their shirts and ties in a local subway train back home, just moving their arms back and forth to let all of their zangyo stresses go away. So hula dancing in Japan, it is in right now. Okay. I actually saw this video of this air guitaring competition with this Japanese guy wearing a Hello Kitty shirt, and he just rocked the pants off. Don't know what I'm talking about? YouTube it up. Okay, I'm going to be playing some great fast-paced tunes. The song is called Woman on the Screen, nothing other than Boris from the album Pink. 101.9 FM CITR, that's what you're listening right now.
Oh, CITR 101.9, Vancouver.
Mic button just had some trouble, but I am back on the air. That was Mongol 800 with Hokso and the album is called Daniel. That's their latest album. And before that, I had some Boris, really heavy, fast-paced, hardcore stuff. Song's called Woman on the Screen. And if you love that, pick up Pink. That is the name of the album with that track. Got 10 minutes left. I'm going to be talking about another festival that is in Japan, and it's called Jidai Matsuri in October. As a matter of fact, it's on October 22nd in Kyoto. It's actually, in English, it means a festival of eras. And if you love Japanese traditional clothing, like kimonos or like those samurai armor, maybe perhaps this is the festival for you. It's actually commemorating the transfer of the capital to Kyoto back in the year 794. And however, it was originally created to raise Kyoto's morale after the loss of the capital and the imperial court, which was moved to the current capital city, Tokyo, in 1868. So in order to make people, you know, cheer themselves up and tell them that Kyoto is the place to be, if you want to find some traditional palaces, beautiful geishas, and some very delicious Kyoto foods, it makes my lips, you know, salivate and water, you know, pucker up kind of thing. Very delicious Kyoto food, and, you know, they really wanted to get some tourist attractions, as well as people being proud of being the citizens of Kyoto. So this is why they started the Jidai Matsuri. They have a lot of mikoshis, the portable shrines, carrying some dolls of Kyoto emperors carried straight to the old imperial palace. And this procession of this march showing the different clothings and styles and uniforms ever since the Heian period, it actually goes on for 5 hours, and they take a 2-kilometer route by walking or on a horse or on a carriage to the Heian shrine, and they perform with drums and fife with many bands following them while they go to that temple. So 5 hours, 2 kilometers, and wearing some Japanese armor? Man, that must be some, you know, energy drenching, but must be a lot of fun, both for the participants and for the spectators. So the costume styles from throughout Kyoto's history with some soldiers of the Meiji era. If you want to see that, go to Kyoto on October 22nd, and the thing is called Jidai Matsuri. I got a few more tracks to play, and I will start it off with Vola and the Oriental Machine, a band that was made after the Number Girl broke up, and I'm going to be playing a song called Yume Shindan. If you have any questions, please give me a call, 604-822-CITR, but let me just play a tune first. Here's Vola and Oriental Machine.
Yeah.
Vola and the Oriental Machine with the song Yume Shindan. I only have a few minutes left, unfortunately. It is my time for to go. I would like to say thank you very much for listening, and I'll be passing the torch to Gavin Walker for the Jazz Show, which will be coming right up in a few minutes. One more thing, I always like to repeat myself, but podcasting is available at the CITR. Go to our website, www.citr.ca. We just started it. There may be some difficulties at first, and the files may be a little bit large, but it is a step forward in having some podcasting availability for all the programs that will be happening in this radio station. So check out the website. Again, www.citr.ca. My name is Alex Tsujijima. Thank you very much for listening to Karasu. I'll finish it off by having a little bit of reggae. The artist is called Dry and Heavy. The song is called Less is More Version. And I'll be on next week, Mondays, from 7:30 again. Thank you very much. Arigatou gozaimashita. And see you later. Sayonara.